This is BI Radio.
Hi, I'm Lisa LaRochelle. Jeffrey Pfeffer is a professor of organizational behavior at the Graduate School of Business, Stanford University. He is the author and co-author of 12 books. Professor Pfeffer began his career at the University of Illinois Business School and then taught at the University of California at Berkeley. He has been a visiting professor at the Harvard Business School, Singapore Management University, London Business School, and IESC in Barcelona. In this segment, I'm talking with Jeffrey about his book, What Were They Thinking? Unconventional Wisdom About Management. Listen in as we challenge conventional wisdom and talk about data and insights to help companies make smarter decisions. Hi, Jeffrey.
Good afternoon.
Your book is titled, What Were They Thinking? Unconventional Wisdom About Management. What was the inspiration behind writing it?
The inspiration behind writing the book was actually quite simple. If you look at the world, many organizations and many leaders of these organizations are making decisions on a daily basis that essentially make no sense. And so, you know, I guess the answer to the question, what were they thinking, is that in many instances, people aren't thinking at all. So I wanted to provide a short set of ideas, guidelines, data, and ways of thinking about a variety of management and leadership issues that would help, practicing managers and the companies for which they work make sounder, more evidence-based, more, helpful kinds of choices.
There are five sections in your book: people-centered strategies, workplaces, leadership and influence, measures of success, and public policy. Of these sections, which do you think is the most critical for management to pay attention to?
That's a great question, but it's like saying, you've got a heart and you've got a brain. Which is more important? You can't live without your heart, and by the way, if you're brain dead, you're probably dead as well. So I really think all of them are about equal in importance. So, for instance, if you were to ask me off the top of my head, I would probably say the first one, people-centered strategies, because if you take good care of your people, they will take care of the customers, and they will be innovative and build products and technologies that will make you successful, and then everything will be just fine. And that's true, but then if you said, why are so few companies actually doing that, then you come down to issues of measures, and you come down to issues of public policy.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit more about people-centered strategies. You state, before you can manage a customer relationship, you first need to build or create that relationship. So how can organizations start building or creating effective customer relationships?
Well, it's actually very simple, which is they ought to, in first place, put themselves in the customer's point of view, and secondly, so that they actually, build products and services that are responsive to what the customers want and what they need. But secondly, relationships are built by people, for the most part, and, one of the things that I think we have tended to do incorrectly is to say, I'm going to get rid of lots of people. We'll put our call centers on the moon or someplace. We'll put you on hold forever. We'll have you do this, phone, press 1 if you want to speak to a human being, press 2 if you want to, can't stand listening anymore. By the way, every survey shows 90% or more of most people hate this. So the point of all of this is that technology can augment people's abilities to provide great customer service, but almost no technology can really replace a well-trained, well-motivated, skilled employee.
You talk a lot about communities in your book, and I think that this is a common theme in today's world. What is a community to you, and how would you go about creating one in an organization?
Community to me is a group of people who actually care about each other and about each other's welfare, and therefore they will do things like band together to help some individual if that individual has experienced some personal or financial difficulty. They will do things to basically look out for each other's interests and to take care of the entire organization or unit. So that's what a community means to me. Now, the question of how organizations build communities, it's interesting question. It's actually simple, but oftentimes not done. And that is to personalize things, to not be afraid of building a certain degree of emotional intimacy, to not be concerned about mixing work and personal life and creating these artificial boundaries that many companies have created, and so that you're dealing with the whole individual. So if we were talking about really building a community, then I would get to know you and your concerns and interests and vice versa, and I would be concerned about your total welfare, not just, you know, whether or not you could do a good job interviewing people on the phone.
So in times of financial difficulties, companies often resort to laying off employees and reducing the pay and benefits for existing employees. You suggest that this seldom fixes anything. Why is that?
Well, because if you actually look at the evidence is overwhelming. I mean, there have been probably now scores of studies done on the effects of downsizing. And the evidence is overwhelmingly clear that downsizing has negative effects. It negatively affects stock price. It negatively affects networks of relationships, which are necessary in order to launch new products and services, because mostly if you bring a new product or service out, you need the cooperation of multiple departments. And when you lay people off, since relationships are carried by people, those relationships are disrupted. It negatively affects productivity. In many instances, it actually negatively affects cost, because if you actually look at the data, many surveys find the following. A significant fraction of people who get laid off, either they or someone like them then get rehired as contractors, because it turns out that the work doesn't go away even though the people do. So the effect of layoffs and downsizing is mostly for the very, very negative, and a bunch of studies have shown that. Similarly for reducing benefits and wages, people will have to typically respond in one of two ways. So first of all, people leave. And secondly, even if they don't leave, they will very often resent not having what they have grown accustomed to, and they will take out that resentment in a variety of ways. So therefore, you put yourself as an organization in a very, very difficult competitive position.
And what about innovation and daring to be different? Why is this so important for an organization?
Well, there's a simple aphorism, which I often use, which is if you do what everybody else does, you'll get pretty much the same results. Innovation is really important because you need to differentiate and to stand out. As Michael Porter, the strategy guru, pointed out many years ago, there are essentially two ways to be successful. You can either compete on cost or on differentiation. And the problem with competing on cost is that it is almost inevitable that other people are going to be able to duplicate what you have done. So therefore, in order to be really successful, it's much better to have a strategy of differentiation, to have a product or service which other people cannot and other companies cannot so readily copy. And that requires innovation, and it requires also daring to stand out, daring to be different.
Thank you very much for joining me, Jeffrey.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
That was Jeffrey Pfeffer, Professor of Organizational Behavior. I'm Lisa LaRochelle. Thank you for listening in. Ignite knowledge, ideas, and connections at IBM Cognos Forum, our annual customer conference, May 12th to the 15th at the luxurious Rosenshingle Creek Resort in Orlando, Florida. This year's event features more than 140 breakout sessions and 50 exhibits. Book before March 20th and save $500. Visit cognos.com/IBM Cognos Forum. That's cognos.com/IBM Cognos Forum. Interviews, insights, and opinions on performance management. You're listening to BI Radio.